Lord, help me to be as holy as I can be, so I represent you, so I then show, so that then the light that comes from me is a true light. All right? A reflection of the light of the world. Christ reflected through us. All right? First petition. Second petition we dealt with last week. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. And we considered how many kingdoms there were. How many? Two. God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. Right? Two kingdoms. Thy kingdom come. The implication is that there is a battle going on to keep his kingdom from coming. If his kingdom was coming without question, and in one sense it is, as we know he's sovereign and he will bring to pass whatsoever he's decreed, which we'll consider here in a little bit. But there is an opposition to that kingdom advancing. So we're praying for his kingdom to come, which tells us that God has a kingdom, right? God has a kingdom, and we considered what comprised that kingdom, the work of that kingdom, the salvation, the work of the church, personal sanctification, right? The sharing of the gospel. So we considered the parts, what makes up the work of the kingdom, and then our part in that, which in large part was the giving of the gospel, whether it's as part of a body that's ministering or personal evangelism. We have that, and we have then our work in the church as part of the church. God providing officers, teachers, workers, all right? When you pray, thy kingdom come, you are, if you pray it honestly, you're volunteering yourself for the work of the church. You can't step back from the work of the church and honestly pray, thy kingdom come. Because that's opposing one another. Right? So a way of life here that the Lord's Prayer teaches us. Thy kingdom come, our part in doing the work of the kingdom. All right. So that brings us to the third petition. I'm on page 567 of the material. 567, Larger Catechism, question 192. And I want to read through it, make a couple of comments, but then I'll come back to it here in a little bit. What do we pray for in the third petition? In the third petition, which is, thy will be done, that talks about our actions. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That talks about our attitude. Right? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Acknowledging that by nature, how we're born, that by nature we and all men are not only utterly unable and unwilling to know and do the will of God, but prone to rebel against his word, to repine and murmur against his providence, and wholly inclined to do the will of the flesh and of the devil. Now, I would suggest to you that that part of the answer predominantly deals with man in his unsaved condition. All right? No Christian can be wholly inclined to do the will of the flesh and of the devil. If you are, you aren't saved. That simple. So this first part is predominantly referencing. There are parts of it that could apply to a Christian, but is predominantly applying to the unsaved. Then we see, so in the third petition, now we're down to the middle part. In the third petition, we pray that God would, by his Spirit, take away from ourselves and others all blindness, weakness, indisposedness, and perverseness of heart, and by His grace make us able and willing to know, do, and submit to His will in all things, with the like humility, cheerfulness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, sincerity, and constancy as the angels do in heaven. All right? So when you pray, "Thy will be done," we have here expanded for us what that entails. And we see here, as we did, if we go back and think about it for a minute, well, before I do that. So when we're talking about God's will, "Thy will be done," what did we learn way back at the beginning? You remember, and we're going to read them here in a minute. What is it? What do we refer to as the means whereby God carries out His divine purposes? His what?
Providence.
Providence is a working out of what?
His decrees.
All right? Let me just remind you, shorter catechism, the larger catechism, I'll give you the references of those too, but shorter catechism, question 7, what are the decrees of God? The decrees of God, now keep listening so that you kind of tie in to what we're going to be looking at in our answer here. The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His own will, whereby, thy will be done, of His own will, whereby for His own glory He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. And we know that God works out His decrees. How does God, question 8, how does God execute His decrees? How does He carry them out? God executeth His decrees in the works of creation and providence. Creation and providence. And then the last one, I'm not going to deal with creation, but God's works of providence, which is question 11, shorter catechism. What are God's works of providence? God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all His creatures and all their actions. Right? Larger catechism, questions 12, 14, 15, 18, would correspond. All right? So, "Thy will be done," and we've, in our past, in notebook number 1, we've dealt with the decrees of God. All right? We've dealt with creation, dealt with providence. So, I'm not going to go back through all that. But, in praying, "Thy will be done," we're praying that God's decrees in general be accomplished, in particular that your part, my part, as He has ordained to use us, as He has purposed to use His people, that they would indeed be used in a right way, that their mind and heart, so corresponding really very closely with "Thy kingdom come," because part of His will obviously is His kingdom coming. So these two petitions are very closely linked. Now, "Thy will be done" again implies, and our answer obviously has shown us, that there is an opposition. That just doesn't happen with us being totally passive. In fact, we were very actively engaged in opposing it in our sinful estate. And we are in our saved estate still prone to be in opposition to it in some ways, i.e.,
I'm just not happy about the way things are going. Well, if God's ordained for these things to come into your life, now I'm not saying you got to be happy about the thing, but the discontent, if you want, I mean, all you got to do is read the Old Testament, children of Israel. And if you want to see a picture of yourself, and I see a picture of me when I read it, you know, no sooner had God dealt kindly with them than they're murmuring or they're disgruntled. Man, we had it a lot better in Egypt. Food was better. You know, I could at least, I didn't have to pitch a tent every other, however often. You know, we had some routine. Yeah, that, you know, we tend to. Yeah, I really love those taskmasters. No, they never complained about being away from the taskmasters. But we tend to quickly slip into being depressed. And if you're depressed, and again, I realize there are a lot of things that go into it, and it's not an easy thing. A lot of godly people have battled it. But again, there is an aspect of it that there is a discontentment with God. We talked about contentment with what commandment? You remember? That was our word for which commandment? The tenth. Thou shalt not covet. Being content. Well, I wish things were better. That's coveting something better. Being content. All right? But this battle that's going on opposing God's will, and it's either us trying to inject our will in the place of God's will. I don't want to do that. But you really know that that's what God would have you do. But I just don't want to do that. You know? Moses. Nah, Lord, I'm not your man. I can't speak. You know? And you can see examples of it in Scripture. You can see examples of it. And again, if you're like me, you can just look at your own life and see places where you felt like the Lord would have you do something, but you just weren't quite ready to go that way. And again, there's a fine line between just going thither and yon and doing this or that and knowing God's will clearly. Sometimes it's clear, sometimes it's not so clear. But nevertheless, being content to follow God, whatever. There must be, in order to do that, to follow, to be content and willing to do that, what would you have to have or know? Okay? I mean, let's get real practical here. If it is, I'm praying, thy will be done in my life, in the world, but let's bring it home to you and me, in my life. So, first of all, what do you got to do? You got to know it, don't you? You're not going to do it if you don't know it. How do you know it? The Word. The Word. All right? So, thy will be done means, Lord, I'll read your Word. Because if I'm going to pray that, but I don't read his Word, again, I'm opposing his will being done in my life. Because I don't know what it is.
I don't know how he wants me to behave. I don't know how he wants me to interact with you. I don't know what he wants me to do concerning the Lord's Day. On and on we go. So the Word, what else? Right? So I know it. Right? I got it in my head. I know it. What's the next thing you got to do then?
Submit to it.
All right? Submit to it. I know it. I acknowledge it. Now I've got to accept it and submit to it. Good. An acknowledgement, an exception, an acceptance that God's... And what do we know about God's will relative to us? What makes it easy, if I can put it that way, or much easier for us to accept it? We know that God's will toward us is for our good. We know that all things in God's providence, working out His decrees, all things work together for good for His people. All right? So if I know that, if I'm aware, if I'm constantly reminding myself, because the devil's going to tell you you're getting a short hand. You're suffering for no good reason. Okay? The devil's going to tell you that. That's the battle that's going on. But we know, because of God's love, because of His goodness to us, we know that it's working for our good. It's perfect. And it is to be obeyed. And if you know it's for your good, most people, if I promise to give you $100, if you'll do this and so, you'll do this and so to get the $100. Well, God's promised to bless us if we obey Him. If we love Him and keep His commandments. If we love Him, we will keep His commandments. Good. So we must understand the source of the will being done, His will being done, which we talked about, the Word. And then the other necessary part of His will being done in your life and mine involves the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. You can know it, you can accept it, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't help you to know it to start with, but then empower you to do it, you're going to be frustrated. At the very best, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be backslidden at the worst. All right? If you're a believer to start with. So, we've got to know what God's will is from His Word, and we need the help of the Spirit. We need the help of the Spirit. Now let's go back quickly to our question and look at a few of the particulars here. And again, I leave a lot of this to you because, again, you've heard sermons, you've probably read books and on the Lord's Prayer, so I'm not trying to deal with the prayer so much from those parts other than as our proof text deal with it. And you can see the first part, I'm back on page 567, question 192 of the Larger Catechism. By nature, we are, and all men are not only utterly unable, etc. If you look down there at number 2, for I know that in me, Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Job 21:14, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. All right? That's that sinful heart opposing God. But the natural man, top of the next page, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Number 3, Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So again, we see that person, that soul, is not interested in God's will being done. And you can see in the rest of those down through number 5. And point being here, man in that condition, in order for that to change at all, there has to be the intervention of who? Of God. We believe it, we preach it, we talk about it, that your salvation is of God. Man will never, ever, of his own accord, seek out God. He might think about him. He sees creation. That's what we're taught. But he's not going to seek for a Savior. He doesn't know about the Savior. And even if he knows, today there will be thousands that hear the gospel and walk away from it. So it's not just that they don't hear. The heart, if God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't effectually call, doesn't infuse that life that gives man then the desire and ability to see his need for the Savior and the desire to embrace that Savior, it won't happen. So we see here the condition of man and the necessity of God's intervention. Thy will be done as to thy people, as well as the lost. His will for them is eternal judgment. They don't come to Christ. Thy will be done. Then we get down to where, starting with 6, what we're praying for, Ephesians 1:17-18, particularly verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, salvation and the blessings that are ours in Christ. Number 7, being strengthened with might by his Spirit. We see the working of the Spirit. We see the working of the Word. All right? Being strengthened. So we have that strengthening. Matthew 26:40-41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we see that ongoing battle. In the prayer, thy will be done, Lord, I've got this battle, but in me, may it be that thy word, that I'm dying more and more to sin and living more and more to righteousness. Right? We have, and the being diligent, being careful. Sometimes we get a little slack. Spirit indeed is willing, but flesh is weak, tired, other things, distracted. All those things can come into play. Jeremiah 31, we see that bullock that's not broken, that's not ready to do the work, that it's not ready for the yoke to be put on it. It's not ready to plow, right? And we see in verse 19, surely after that I was turned, once he understood, once we understand, I repented. After that, I was instructed. Okay? That's what it's God's will being done in our own life. Psalm 119:1-8. The source and submission we see. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 8, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. I will keep thy statutes. I submit, Lord. Psalm 119, the path of thy commandments. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Number 11, Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Shown you what's good. His will's good. Shown you what's good. What does he require of you? To do justly. I would suggest to you that that's obeying God's word. To do justly. To love mercy. To love mercy. How we interact. We love his mercy. We don't so much love having to be merciful with one another. It's part of his prayer. What does he require of you? To do justly, obey his word, to love mercy. Well, when's mercy required? Apart from loving it as you've received it from God, but to love mercy, to do it, requires you to be willing to forgive, to forbear, to be patient. Requires all of us to do that with one another. To show mercy. And to love it. It's not easy to love mercy. It goes against the grain. Our normal reaction is to, I'll get you. That wasn't very nice of you. Well, when I get a chance. You ever have those thoughts? Yeah. To love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God, submitting to his will, walking humbly with thy God. Thy will be done. Top of page 569. Again, not an easy one. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. A little song in there. There's joy in serving Jesus. I think, if I remember correctly. Serve the Lord with gladness. No matter what, you serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't mean you aren't troubled in your heart. It doesn't mean that things aren't tough. But again, this is where you know and are willing to submit gladly because you know your Heavenly Father loves you and is working all things for the good of you, for the good of his people. Quickly, the last two or three. Faithfulness, number 13. I have walked, I have done how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. A continuing way of life. I've done it. Romans 12:11, number 15, not slothful, fervent in spirit, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, you are zealous. We want to do it. Your heart, Lord, I want to serve you today. I want to do what you want me to do. We're sincere. Psalm 119:80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. It's not superficial. This isn't something that we just want to show. It's something we want in our heart. If it's only you and God that knows, and God knows your heart, you want your heart to not be, you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. You can be superficial. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And this prayer is, God, when you look on my heart, may my desire to obey, to submit to your will be genuine, be true. And then number 18, Psalm 103:20-21, to do it as the angels in heaven. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Now, there is some that have used some of these passages about angels as to, well, you've got your particular angel. I don't think that's the case. I think the idea here is there are angels standing before God just ready to do his bidding. Even as it relates, and quite frequently, as it relates to you and me. I do believe there are guardian angels in the sense that God can certainly interject an angel on your behalf in a given situation. I think there are people who can testify that there seems to be no other explanation than God sending an angel. All right? But these angels are just waiting for God to do this. That's what thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are we standing before God when we pray this? Is it our position? Is it our heart and mind's attitude? Lord, just tell me. I'm ready. Whatever you want me to do, let me do it. I'm ready to do it. And to do it with cheerfulness, and all the things that were mentioned there in our answer. Cheerfulness, humility, cheerfulness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, sincerity. We've talked about these. Constancy, as the angels do in heaven. They keep coming back. They do this. All right, Lord, I finished that. Now what would you want me to do? You know? Sometimes children, when they're young, you know, will you go do this? They go and do it. And they come. Okay, I did it. What do you want me to do now? You know, there's some of those rewarding moments. They get a little older. You know, have you done it? No, I haven't done that yet. But small ones wanting to please, I would suggest to you, that gives you a little picture of what we're talking about here. That cheerfulness, that willingness. I just want to please. Your children just want to please you. You see it that moment anyway. And that's the way we are to be. And that's when you pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as it relates to you and me, our duty here. We understand from this, God has decrees, his will. God has a will. We've read about it. His decrees being worked out in providence. So we're praying concerning that. Our duty is to know and to submit. To know it and submit. So when you pray that, again, back to our way of life, it's, I've got to know. I've got to know what God expects of me. What do the scriptures principally teach? What man is to believe concerning God, and what duty God requires of man? His will for you, for me. What duty? And to submit to it cheerfully, gladly, willingly. Helping one another to do that. Praying. You got to know. Pray one for another. Oh. Have you prayed one for another? It's part of God's will for you. Be ye kind one to another. That's part of God's will for you and for me. Right? And just keep going with them. You read it. That's God's will for me. And if I pray, Lord, make me more like Christ. That's praying for God's will to be done. But then, what does that require? It's nice to pray that. It's good to pray that. But we got to understand what that entails. All right, my time's gone. So we'll get to the next petition If you have questions or comments, I'll try to remember. If you have things on this one, I can give you time to share today. Then we'll try to pick them up next week. Let's pray. Father, again, we are grateful to you for your goodness to us. Indeed, we pray that as to this day, as to the worship hour to come, that thy will would be done in our worship, the preaching, in our joining together in song and prayer. Lord, as we come around the table, may thy will be done as to our worship this day, as to our use of this day, as to our proper use of this day. Lord, bless our sister congregations. Be with us in the time of fellowship between now and in the time of our service. Lord, do us good, we pray. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.